As Vladimir helps remind us, we are about 2 months, less than 2 months away from something that's an annual tradition, that's not just a tradition, that's attached to a mission within our congregation, and that would be OCC Sunday, Operation Christmas Child Sunday, something that goes along with Samaritan's Purse in that line. And so we're going to hear more about what OCC Operation Christmas Child is all about. We have many of you that are involved on a personal level, a local level, or even a regional level, and we are pleased to have as a part of our congregation the Northwest Area Coordinator connected to our church in Judy Jernay. And so she's going to come forward this morning in less than 57 minutes and present this morning message for us about OCC. So make Judy feel welcome as she comes forward.
Thank you, Justin. A lot of you know that I was blessed with the opportunity to go to the Ukraine in May on a shoebox distribution, and they actually call them vision trips. And less than 1% of the shoeboxes are actually handed out by vision teams. And the slides that you're going to see today in this PowerPoint are from the Red Team's distribution, which was the team that I was on. And I'm really excited to be able to share this with you this morning. A lot of you don't know about the Ukraine, so I'm going to just give you a brief history before I start here. The Ukraine is at the crossroads of Europe and Asia, and it is surrounded by Russia to the north and east, Belarus, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, and Moldova to the west and the south, and the Black Sea to the southeast. Their population is a little over 44 million people. And the religion in the Ukraine is 65% Eastern Orthodox and only about 2% Protestant. In the 10th and the 11th centuries, it was the dominant state in Europe. But the world wars were devastating for the people of the Ukraine, and millions of them died. The country was merged with the Soviet Union in the 1940s, and the Russians were ruthless to the people. They achieved their independence in 1991, following the end of the Cold War. But in 2014, Russia invaded the eastern part of Ukraine and Crimea, and you can see it circled there at the bottom. And they are still at war right now at this time. And when we were there, we actually saw the military convoys and troops, whatever, going to that region of the country. But some of the things that struck me about the Ukraine was that it was absolutely a beautiful country. And we were stationed, our hotel and stuff was in Kiev. That's the Russian pronunciation for it. The Ukrainian people call it Kyiv. But Kyiv is a beautiful, very modern city. And the rural part of Ukraine, all the farms and everything is just so beautiful there. Their land, their dirt is black soil, and you can tell why the Russians would want this country. But the people have a lot of pride. They don't have a lot of things. But what things that they do have, they take immaculate care of. And one of the things that struck me over there was that even in the cities and in the rural countryside, we didn't see one piece of garbage or litter anywhere. So we got to fly to the Ukraine on Samaritan's Purse DC-8, which is their disaster transport plane. And they can house a whole emergency field hospital in the cargo bay. And you can see we are entering the back part of the plane. The cargo part is right in the center of the plane. And it only has 32 seats on it. And we got to get up and walk around and talk. So the 10-hour flight went by really, really fast. And you can see that the pilot would come out periodically and check on us to make sure that we were okay. Okay, the center of the plane, like I said, is the cargo hold. And as we were going over there, it was filled with shoeboxes. And these were not the shoeboxes that we distributed. Ours were already in country. But then on the return trip, you can see that the cargo bay is totally empty. And for some of you, you might know who Flat Stanley is. But that's a little cutout character that the elementary school kids have. And Flat Stanley actually got to go on our Ukraine Ukraine mission trip with us, and he actually got to help fly the airplane up there in the cockpit. And one of the other cool things that we got to do is two by two, we actually got to go up to the front of the plane and sit in the jump seats and talk to the pilots while we were flying over there. So Ukraine, the teams, there were about 30 people, mostly area coordinators from three regions that went on this trip. They were from the Great Lakes, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Northeast. We were divided into three teams, the red, yellow, and green team. And we were based, like I said, in Kiev. And then we would travel out into the countryside about 2 hours. And you can see where the little red dots are. That's where our particular team went. This was the transportation that we got around the Ukraine in. And this was our red team little minivan. And I had to include this slide because this lady is from the Mid-Atlantic region. She is actually still an area coordinator. Marie is 91 years old, and she was an inspiration to all of us. And so what I want to say is that you are never too old to serve the Lord, and you're never too young either. So how do these shoeboxes get to these children? One person, one shoebox, one child at a time. And it all starts with people just like you, packing shoeboxes, churches and organizations packing shoeboxes. And then they take them to drop-off centers. And our church is a drop-off center for Sandusky County. And then they go travel from there to the processing centers. And our shoeboxes last year from our church went down to Charlotte, North Carolina processing center. And from there they went to Ecuador, Malawi, and to the Ukraine. This is a picture of our Ukrainian national leadership team, and I can't say enough wonderful things about this team. They are all volunteers, just like us, and they all have other jobs, but they spend countless hours making sure everything runs smoothly, that the teachers are taught properly, and that the shoeboxes are distributed correctly. And they were with us the entire week, and most of them took their vacation time to do that. And after all the groundwork has been laid, then comes the distributions. And the distributions can be made in several different ways and locations. This was our first one, which was done at a school. And these are just pictures of hand-painted murals that they have all over the school to decorate it and make it cheerful. And our first distribution was to six-year-olds at this school. They are also made at churches, and you can see in the background, this is a picture of the church. And we got there a little bit early to this distribution, and so we got to mingle with these kids a little bit ahead of time. And the four girls that are right there actually gave their life to Christ at this distribution. And this is a picture inside the church. The church was actually burnt to the ground by the Russians, but the local villagers built it back again. They were so appreciative of what we did, and they insisted that we stayed for lunch, and they made a wonderful Ukrainian lunch for us. And I don't know if you can kind of tell from the one picture, but they had long, skinny tables, and the wall is right in the back of the one set of people, and then there's another table next to it, and the same size with the wall there, and that would be equivalent to our fellowship hall. It's how small, whatever it was. And the picture on the other side is a picture of the women that actually cooked the meal for us. They were just, there was just so much hospitality there. They were just so friendly and nice and so shy, but so appreciative. And I wanted to show you a picture of what their restroom facilities look like at the church. And I want you to compare it to the very ornate Catholic and Orthodox churches, which are all over the country in the Ukraine. There's a vast difference. And the Protestant churches meet all over. They don't actually, some have buildings like that other one, but some are in like hotel conference rooms. And we did one of the distributions at this church, which is in a hotel conference room that they have decorated up. And these are a picture of our interpreters, and Oksana and Vika. And Vika was my bus buddy, so I got to know her pretty well. She's 17 years old. She's still in what they term high school, getting ready to do her national tests. And she was really shy when we first met, but she really blossomed as the week went on. And this was her first real job as an interpreter. Both of these women were Christians beforehand, but they had never really known what Operation Christmas Child was. And as they went with us to all the different locations and stuff, and they found out more about Operation Christmas Child, they were so impressed with it that they both decided to take the classes so they could become teachers of the Greatest Journey. They also do distributions, and we did this at this community center. These community centers were built all over the Ukraine when the Russians, under Russian occupation, and they were used for indoctrination and actually to preach atheism. And now these same community centers are being used to preach the gospel. So praise God for that. Okay, all the distributions were started pretty much the same way. They all got the kids all revved up, and they played games with the kids. And this game was really kind of wild. They put pantyhose on the kids' head, and they had a ball down in one of the legs of the pantyhose, and they had to swing their heads back and forth to see who could knock over the cup the first, which was a lot of fun. And then they did singing and dancing. Excuse me. Before each one, and they got the kids really excited, kind of like Vladimir said, they had, you know, whole thing right before it. And then after that, they did the gospel presentations, and they have Operation Christmas Child trained teachers, and they do this the same way whether it's in the Ukraine or in Africa or in South America. But they have these new posters that they use so the kids can see as well as hear. And they start with creation, and they go all the way through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they explain it in a really concise and fun and easy to understand way. And the kids are all super attentive. And after the presentations, they do an altar call. And they asked the children to come up front, and this was at one of our distributions, and 8 children came up front, and they handed them the microphone, and they confessed their sins, and they accepted Jesus Christ. And that was all before they even received their shoebox. And then came the shoeboxes, and someone from our team would go up and tell them where we were from, how much we loved being there with them, and how the Christians from far away had packed these shoeboxes for them to show them the love of Jesus Christ and just how much God actually loved and truly cared for them. And we would take turns doing that. We would each have a different job at each one of the different distributions. And there were a lot of great shoeboxes, but I can't emphasize enough how much the wow item means to a child who has nothing. And as much as they like all the toys and the gifts that are in their box, they really, truly love the letters and the pictures of the people that pack the shoebox. And when a kid would find one in his shoebox, they would just take it out, and they'd want somebody to come over and interpret it for them, like, right away. And then other kids would start looking through their boxes to see if they had a letter from somebody. So I can't emphasize enough, because this brings the shoebox to life for them. They are so amazed that somebody would take the time on the other side of the world to actually pack a shoebox for them. And if they can see the picture of that person, it just really, it makes a world of difference to them. And some of these kids have never heard the words, "I love you." And when it's said there in the letter that God loves them, that this person loves them, that might be the only time they ever hear that. And so I highly encourage you guys, when you pack your shoeboxes this year, to include a letter and a picture. And one of the other things that we learned is that it is really difficult, and especially in like some of the African countries and whatever, they do not have access to mail, and it is super expensive, and even these kids don't. But if you put your email address on your letter, the chances of you getting a response or a thank you greatly increases, because in this world of technology, they might have access to a computer either through their school or through their church or through their neighbor. And they just love sunglasses. And the boys love the cars and the trucks. And this little girl, she loved these inexpensive little plastic vampire teeth. And she put them in immediately. She'd run around, she'd close her mouth, and she'd run up to somebody, and she'd open her mouth up, and she'd scare them, and they'd all squeal, and she just had the greatest time, the whole packing party, scaring people with these orange plastic teeth. And like I said, they'd love anything that to wear, hats, scarves, gloves, doesn't matter if they're in hot countries or not, they put on everything, sunglasses, they put everything on, tiaras immediately. And they love any kind of ball, bouncing balls, you know, footballs, soccer balls. And if you do put a soccer ball or football deflated in there, make sure you do have a pump. And they love stuffed animals. Even the older children and even the older boys love getting stuffed animals. And I just want to say the quality of the shoebox really does matter. When the love of Jesus does not shine out of a box, it is heartbreaking. And although we need quantity, because each shoebox, like Vladimir said, represents a child, it represents a gospel opportunity. So we really stress the quantity, but I'm here to tell you to stress the quality also. And as a lady on our team stated, God don't make no junk. So don't put no junk in that shoebox. And I want to tell you, like, my personal story. I was handing out a shoebox at this time, and they give you the shoebox. It's been slit open, but you don't know what's inside of it. And I could tell that it was pretty light. And I had been sitting next to this 12-year-old boy and his friend, and I had to hand him the shoebox. And I was kind of myself holding my breath because I could tell it was a really light shoebox. And when he opened the shoebox, it was mismarked. And it was like given, like I said, to this 12-year-old boy. And when he opened it, his wow gift in it was a size 2 toddler sweatshirt. And you can see everything in the box practically is white. And like Vladimir said, you know, color means a lot to these little kids. And they had white soap, a white washcloth, this white sweatshirt, 2 pencils, a toothbrush, and then the only thing that had color was that little notebook there, and it had like 4 sheets of paper in it. And so I encourage you that when you are packing your shoebox with your family or helping at the church packing party, that you think, would I be excited to give the shoebox that I just packed to my own child? Or would I be excited to give it to my grandchild? Or especially, would I be excited to sit next to a child who has never received a gift before and hand him my shoebox? So I just encourage you that when you pack your boxes, make sure that the love of Jesus Christ shines out of your box. Every child is also given the Greatest Gift booklet. And this is a booklet of Bible stories that are in their own language. And if you can see that the box that's there, one of the area coordinators from Indiana actually designed that box, and they call it the Big Bro Box. And we have some of them in our back, on the table back there. And so we knew that this was somewhere from our area in Northwest Ohio, and this box was actually from Streetsboro, Ohio. Okay, and then each child is invited to participate in the Greatest Journey, which is the 12-week discipleship program. And the parents are given the times and dates of when the Greatest Journey will be offered in their area. And we actually got to go see a Greatest Journey class, and these children actually were on lesson 8 of the program. And I just want to say, there are hundreds of worthwhile charities and mission projects out there. But why has God allowed Operation Christmas Child to become the world's largest Christmas project of its kind? And it's because it demonstrates God's love in a tangible way through their shoeboxes and also through this 12-week discipleship program, The Greatest Journey. You can see one child every 16 seconds last year became a follower of Jesus Christ through this program. And to me, that is an absolutely amazing statistic, because you think about it. Four children every minute gave their life to Christ because someone took the time to pack a shoebox or donate to The Greatest Journey. And you can see what that does multiplied out for every 24 hours. These girls had just completed The Greatest Journey, and they were actually helped us with the shoebox distributions. And the girl that has the arrow kind of pointed towards her actually got baptized the next day. And the green team got to watch her baptism, which was really cool. And these are just some pictures of the beautiful children that we were blessed to meet in the Ukraine. And this little boy that I have my arm around, his name was Igor. And he knew some English, and he was so proud of that. And so he came running up to us, and, you know, so we could talk, and he was just the cutest little kid. So they had many different ways of how they left the distributions. And as we would drive away, we could see, because in the Ukraine, you can see on some of the tapes where they're so jubilant and excited and whatever. Well, there are more reserved people in the Ukraine. And so a lot of them, like, would look in their box, they'd be really excited, but then they would close the lid. But then we would see them outside with their friends, rifling through their shoeboxes or on the side of the road, you know, and sharing stuff, like, with friends. And most of the kids ended up walking home from the distributions, or they rode their bikes. But my favorite mode of transportation was how this one went with their horse-drawn wagon with the kids in the back, and the mom was sitting, whatever, back there in the back. They asked us at our debrief that we should try to sum up our experience in one word. And that's really hard to do because there were so many emotions during the whole entire trip. And we experienced joy and sadness, compassion and love. It was humbling at times and convicting at other times. But we felt such pride in our mission. But what I think the one word for me that summed up this whole entire trip was affirming. What we do really, truly matters. The shoeboxes really do open doors. They really, truly do plant churches and bring children the salvation of Jesus Christ. So I am so thankful that I got to give my presentation to you, because the main thing that I wanted to come to show you guys and tell you guys is that just thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for packing shoeboxes. Thank you for praying for Operation Christmas Child. Thank you for donating to the cause. Because I just want to let you know, this is where I was getting teary up, is that what you do really, truly does make a difference. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And everything about Operation Christmas Child fulfills this great commission. And you don't have to travel halfway around the world to do this, because your shoebox does it for you. And so now I'd like to introduce Joyce, who is our project leader for First United Methodist, and she's going to tell you a little bit about what we're doing here.
Okay. I think everybody, well, maybe you know me. I'm the child care director, but I've been working with OCC for a long time. I pack shoeboxes for a long time, and then I joined Judy to be a year-round volunteer also. So I do church relations, but it's a team effort. We all get in on our packing party. I just, a couple minutes to say, remember Vladimir challenged everybody to pack a shoebox as a family? And I encourage all of you guys to do that. Take the opportunity to, you know, work with kids, to teach them that what missions are all about, and to pray together over their box. Make it personal to the child. And so hopefully you can do that. If you don't have a little kid in your own house, you know, find one. They're out there. Find a neighbor, find a niece, a nephew, or somebody to do that with. But besides that, we have a lot of fun with a packing party. If you're kind of new to our church, it's a big deal. We collect stuff year-round, and I want to thank you, everybody that's been buying stuff. The piles are accumulating. I went through, some of our daycare kids have helped count how many soaps we have and how many coloring books we have and that kind of stuff. And we came up with a master list, but I think, you know, our goal, we'll see if we can do it. We'd really like to try to shoot for 500 boxes at our packing party. We did over 400 last year. Let's see if we can make more. So we put a chart together out in the back. We borrowed Julie's idea of how you take a card, you know, and remind you what you're doing. Like this one says, 10 or more small cars or trucks. There's a variety of them. There's 10 or more small balls. This could be bouncy balls. This could be the red rubber balls. It could be whatever ball you find that's on sale. And actually, go to Dollar General today. I think it's still on for today. They were having a 70% off clearance. And, you know, it made like 90% off of their summer stuff. I found beach balls blow up for like 10 cents. So this stuff is out there. You can get it on clearance. But the neat thing about this is on the back, once you've pulled one, you're going to get a picture of a child that's going to remind you to pray. Because we want to pray for this ministry. And so you can stick that somewhere where you're going to see it a lot. You know, put it on your kitchen window, on the fridge, you know, tape it. Put it in your Bible, where it's going to remind you to keep praying for this ministry. Our packing party is going to be November 4th. That's like 5 weeks from now. So you can bring those things in. And, you know, we're asking for 10 or more, but financially, if you can't quite do 10, you know, whatever you can get, you can find and bring is great. Because we're going to trust God's going to give us what we need to have to fill these boxes. Let's see. We've also got some crafting ideas. This is kind of new for us. We've made jump ropes. These are made out of T-shirts where we cut them into strips. There's different colors here. We saved some from the rummage sale to do. And just recently we got a bunch of donated items. And these are those great big, they're too big to put in the box. So we're going to cut these and make some more jump ropes. So if anybody would like to do some of that. Rhonda Pickering is kind of coordinating or wants to coordinate a craft group for OCC. There's been a bunch of yarn donated, and if you're a knitter or crocheter or you want to learn, there's lots of projects you can create to put into boxes too. So be watching for some details on when that's going to get going. The $9 shipping, I don't know, we didn't really cover any of that yet, but it does take shipping money to get these boxes to the kids, and it's $9 per box. It starts adding up when you're saying 500. Wow, that's a big number. But we do want to make sure that we send each box with enough shipping, because it's not just shipping, getting it from point A to point B. It's also the booklets and the teacher training materials and all of that. That's what that $9 is covering. So if you're not into shopping, you're not into crafting, but maybe you've got some extra funds you can put towards the shipping, you know, please see me or, you know, give the check to Luann. You can write it to the church. Just make sure you put it in the memo line. It's for OCC shipping, and then it'll go through on your giving statements and stuff. So we need some shipping. And what else? I think that's all my notes. But, okay, we've been talking about OCC all morning. But you know what? I'll try not to take it personally, but if it's really not your thing, that's okay. Because mission work is lots of things. There's lots and lots of things to do for missions. And one other thing that this church is doing is feeding hungry people. And there's meals that are getting put together each month for up at Crossroads Shelter. There's a sign-up sheet that's in the back or in the hallway If you look on the mission board, you can sign up on how that goes. Dave Broski is organizing that, and he would love to get some more regular help with that. There's all kinds of things that you can do as mission work, and a lot of us do several things. But it's just pray. It's pray about where God's calling you, what he's leading you to do. And so let's pray. Let's pray for OCC, and let's just pray for the missions that can happen out of this group. Father God, we lift up OCC right now. We lift up the projects that are working on. You know how many boxes need to be filled, and you know how many you want us to fill. So Lord, just place on our hearts what we're supposed to be donating, and where we should work, and what we should do with this whole project, and how many boxes we should pack. You know, with our families, and who can we invite to get started with this? Lord, let this be an outreach to teach other people about your love, not just the kids that are going to get the boxes, but maybe this is a way to share God with your neighbors or with somebody at work. Lord, just there's so many ways to grow through this ministry. Lift up the leadership. We lift up leadership here in Northwest Ohio, the people that are working year-round to make this happen. And Lord, we lift up our national team leaders who work endlessly to make connections, to make the boxes move, have the transportation to get it to where it needs to be, from the airline pilots to those that are helping them get them into the countries. Lord, there's so much work that gets done, and so much of it is through Christians like us. And we just we pray that the connections are made that need to be made. Lord, ultimately, we want people to get to know you better. We want the kids to know you. We want, just like Judy said, the interpreters, they're getting to know you too, just through this ministry. Lord, there's just so many ways that that your love can grow through this. And Lord, if there's other ways that we're doing in our church right now, feeding people, working with the crisis pregnancies, with just our own youth group, our own GLOW program, just we lift all of that up. Show us, Lord, where you want us to work. In Christ's name, amen.
It's the words of Judy that she put up on one of the slides. I don't know if you caught it, but Matthew Chapter 28, it's the reminder that we gather to come to the church not to stay, but to go. It's the Great Commission of Jesus. And the words say this, go. Step one, go. For what purpose? To make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, for I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's go hearing those words. Let's go hearing that purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Go and make disciples.